Blog Talk Radio.
I've changed the presets.
Hello, people. I'm sorry about that. This whisper kind of went cuckoo for me. I just want to say happy Mother's Day to everyone out there. And happy birthday, happy Mother's Day to my mom, who's in Idaho, with her other, with my brother and who, my four nieces and nephews. So I just want to say happy mom, Mother's Day mom. And today I am so excited because we have the amazing, lovely, talented, did I say amazing on my... Well, amazing Jean Kill on the line, and we will be talking to her about Misguided and also 12 Angry Men. So, here's Jean.
Hello.
Hi. Thank you for doing this on a Sunday.
Oh, my pleasure. Happy Mother's Day. And to everybody listening, I don't know if you're on the air yet or not, but it's a big happy Mother's Day to you and all of our listeners and grandmothers and dog mothers.
Oh, yeah. You can't forget about the grandmas.
That's right.
Yeah. So you are in 12 Angry Men at the Promenade Playhouse in Santa Monica, which I love Santa Monica.
Yes.
And it starts this Friday. So how did the rehearsals go? And can you tell us about, you know, the play for anyone that doesn't know? Oh, it was a movie, I thought, but I could be wrong. So,
oh, it's
yeah,
everything. It's been around for a while. It's got quite a history. We actually opened this past Friday night, and performances to go. We have performances scheduled for, we're on Fridays and Saturdays at the Promenade Playhouse on May 17th, 18th, May 31st, and June 1st, June 7th and 8th, and June 14th and 15th. And this is a full production of the play. And before that, in April, we participated in a nationwide presentation, a staged reading of this. It was called part of the 12,000 Voices Project, and it was several theaters around the country got involved. Several, it was like 63 theaters around the country involved in this. 12 Angry Men performed by 12 Impassioned Women. We have an all-female cast, and
wow.
We were very. I know it was. It's quite a twist on this. And there's some interesting history to this whole thing, but I'll just briefly tell you that we were very happy with the results of the staged reading because during that one weekend, over 60 U.S. cities hosted readings of the play performed by 12 Angry Men, performed by 12 Impassioned Women, and the website was 12,000 Voices. And we were able to register a lot of voters. One of the goals of the project was to get people involved in voter registration. And a lot of people didn't realize that until 1973, I didn't know this, women in all 50 states had not been allowed to serve on juries. But as of 1973, that was finally accomplished in all 50 states. So it was kind of timely to bring it up now, especially since everybody wants to get out and vote these days for the next election, and everybody wanted to vote for the midterm. So hopefully we can be a part of it. Join us as we fight for our country and our rights.
Oh, that is so cool. And, you know, I think it's great that you're doing in Santa Monica. I've always loved Santa Monica, so I just find it really pretty out there. You know, when you live in Seattle, I mean, we all, it's pretty bad in Seattle because it rains in Seattle, people. So, yeah. So I'm glad you're having fun with that. And
I don't know if any listeners are aware of the story, or I don't know if you're familiar with it either, but this is kind of interesting, and there's a tie-in to Guiding Light, which is kind of blew me away when I found out about it. This is based on an original television movie that aired on Studio One on CBS, which was, you know, Guiding Light's home network. But this came
mm-hmm.
out in the 50s. The original was a TV movie that came out in the 50s. And the story is about what happens when a jury, 12 people, and that's where they get the title of 12 Angry Men, are involved in determining the fate of a young man who has been accused of murdering his father. Okay, it was originally written by a teleplay writer, screenplay writer by the name of Reginald Rose in 1954. And the story revolves around these 12 jurors who are tasked with deciding a verdict, whether the boy is guilty or not guilty. And they have to analyze the evidence, and they're locked in a room until they can come up with a verdict. And the drama that unfolds is really more about the jury members and their personal beliefs and their personal histories as they try and look at whether this boy is innocent or guilty. It seems like when they go in, all the evidence seems to be stacked against him. And if he gets, if the verdict is guilty, they're going to send him to the death chamber. So there are very high stakes involved. And all of the jurors have their own personal reasons and their own viewpoint about the evidence. There's only one holdout at the beginning that thinks that the boy is innocent. Everyone else at the onset believes that he's guilty, and then it becomes throughout the task of the play that this one juror who believes that the boy is innocent to try and convince the others, and it's not easy. It's a real uphill battle. So it's really, really it's really interesting. And we had a reviewer come in when we did the stage reading, and she said, "You know what? I'll just read what she wrote." And she wrote about the stage reading, the performance at the Promenade Playhouse, directed by Natalia Lazarus, was passionate, well-acted, and frightening. Little has changed from 1954 as we read our newspapers today. I mean, that's what blows me away, that there are still some kind of ingrained attitudes that prevent people from maybe being objective. It's really interesting that we're still kind of fighting that perception today. So the connection to Guiding Light was that in 1957, after it aired on television, Sidney Lumet directed his first feature film, which was 12 Angry Men. He took it from the television show, and they turned it into a screenplay. And Sidney Lumet was the director. You know, he was Oscar-winning director. And Henry Fonda played the lead role on the screen. And Guiding Light original cast member Ed Begley was playing the role that I'm playing now.
Oh, that is funny.
Yeah, he's playing juror number 10, and that's the role I'm playing. And I guess on Guiding Light, he was in the original TV cast, came on in 1952 on CBS, and he was playing the Reverend Dr. Paul Keeler. Now, he was way before my time, but I've gone on and, you know, looked at his work and stuff. He was amazing. You know, he did win the Oscar for something else later. He won the Oscar for Sweet Bird of Youth in 1962. But in 1957, he worked on 12 Angry Men. So it's just a kind of interesting, you know, connection to Guiding Light and to my character. I thought that was so cool. I'm going, wow, I get to fill his shoes a little bit. But it is, you know, an entirely kind of different vibe these days. But still, on the other hand, so many attitudes haven't changed. So it's well worth checking into.
Wow. That is amazing. You know, I wish I could go to Santa Monica and go see you, because I think you will do a great job, and you're doing a great job, you know, in the play. And my favorite little Misguided
is
coming
misguided.
Back
yes,
this month.
Very soon. It's getting closer and closer. And we've got some surprises
and
in store for the third season.
Yeah, and I think we have a phone call, and I'm hoping it is who I think it is. But if it's not, I'm going to feel really stupid. 917, you're on the air.
Oh, hello?
Hi.
Hi, this is Paul. Hello, Jean.
Yes, I was right. Okay, good.
Hi, Paul. Surprise, surprise.
Surprise. I'm so
Paul is our star of Misguided. He's the creator, the producer, director. He's, you know, done everything with this. He's amazing. So, and he's gotten it to the third season, which we cannot wait. It's dropping, you know, what, on the 27th of
27th.
This month. Yes, yay.
Yes. Very soon.
So, yes. Are you excited as I am? I am over the moon right now.
I'm excited, and I'm just like, it's about time, because it has been a long editing process, but I'm ready to share it with everyone. But I wanted to just call and say hi, and that I was listening, and that you can continue talking about it. I didn't know I was going to be popping on.
Oh, thank you, Paul, for calling. Just for the audience to know, where can they find Misguided at the end of May?
At the end of May, yeah, you can find it on YouTube. You can find it on misguidedseries.com. And, yeah, it'll be out there.
Oh, he's done amazing. He really, really has. Just jumped right in and took over the reins and made this an incredible story. So, yeah, and it's getting better and better and better. And this season is going to be taking a different turn, but I'm not gonna spill the beans. I mean, we have a really special guest. As an actress, and I'm not going to tell you who that is, but it's a very, very, very special appearance by a very special Guiding Light alum. So, but I can't tell you. You're going to have to watch. Right, Paul?
That's exactly right.
Paul, I cannot get it out of you either.
No, you can't get it out of me. Not yet.
No,
me either.
No, I tried, people. But no, Paul, I'm so glad you called in. You know, it's Mother's Day and it's a crazy day, but I am so glad you called in. And like I said earlier, I hope we can get all the cast members of Misguided on Daytime After Dark at the same time. That would be a really awesome show, and I think everyone would love it.
Well, we'll see. Everyone's got different schedules, but we would love to pop them on here and there and whatever works best for everyone.
Yeah, well, I think you've got an event coming up. We're all kind of be in the same room at once. Maybe we could spend some time talking. I'd love to do it.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Because we have Jackie Zeman in this cast, Stephanie Gachet, Paul Gosselin, Justin Kosky. I mean, it's amazing who we've got. We really, and a
this
surprise
is a good,
guest.
This was such a good season because everyone just sort of meshed really, really well together.
Okay.
And I didn't, I said this before, but I've never held a single audition for the show. I've sort of just been like, I want to work with all of these people that I've just admired.
Aww.
And threw them all together. And, you know, everyone's got personalities or whatever, but everyone's personality meshed so well. And we spent one day during filming, we spent, you know, an entire day together, and there were no divas on set. It was like, it was such a good family vibe that I just like was so happy and so proud of like what it became. So I'm very happy.
That's the way it should be. You know, I mean, when, especially because everybody has the same kind of background, right? And
right.
When you work together as a family, and you do, you form these these connections. And there's no room for being anybody being a diva. There really isn't. You're working together. You're always a team, and that's the way it should be, and that's what makes it great. Yay! Go team!
Yes.
But well,
anyway,
I think it's going to be awesome. You know, I will probably bend through it, you know. Give me another reason it bends on a show, but I don't know if bending through a show is good, but I do that now, so I just cannot wait for the season. And I love that you have Dean on, and you have Zaki Demon on, and you have Stephanie on, and I cannot wait to figure out who the new surprise from Guiding Light is. Now I'm going to try and use my brain and figure that one out. I think it's going to be great.
Well, it drops, you know, on Monday the 27th, and it's going to be for, what, every Monday after that?
Monday. I don't have exact times of when it will probably be dropping early morning on Mondays, but then it will be just available online, and people can keep checking it out and share it with everyone.
I'd love to see us get a merchandise line. You know what? Really? Huh? That's a good idea or what? You know, t-shirts and cups and pens and little hats.
And hats and a bag.
You have read my mind. It's in the works. We shall see what happens. I've definitely been thinking about different ways I can start marketing it and giving a pen here or t-shirt or something here or there to, like, keep spreading the word, because if someone wears like a t-shirt that says it's to the gym or something, it's just word of mouth and help
promote
it.
Absolutely. Keep it going, baby. Keep it going. No, it was so fun. The last season, I didn't work on the first one. The second season was so fun working with you, particularly and Jackie Zima, because those were the scenes I had. But this season, I get to spread out a little bit, and my character's a lot different.
we should say this too. You are playing a different character than you played in season two, but it's all related. It's all coming together. It will all be explained. When people see you, they're not so jarred that it's a different character, but it all will make sense. Just go along with the ride. I hope
you're adorable. You're incredible in this too. So it's got some scary stuff in it and emotional stuff in it, touching, sentimental stuff in it, and mystery. It's got it all. And funny too.
Yeah.
A little bit of funny too.
Yeah. It was really disappointing because we were disqualified from the Daytime Emmys for the last season because we were deemed too much of a comedy. And so I tried my best to make it less of a comedy, but still keep the humor that it has always had, but branch out into more drama and melodrama that's come to expect it in those type of melodramas, I guess.
Right.
Awesome. I cannot wait. And you know how much I love Zaki, and I think Zaki and Stephanie are both doing a great job in this too, so, you know, I cannot wait to see it. And thank you, Paul, so much for taking time out for calling in. We love it when you call in. And I agree. I think Misguided needs, like, a handbag thing. And, I would go for the handbag. I really would. It's for another handbag, so why not have a Misguided handbag? Yeah.
That's perfect. Perfect.
Yeah. Well, there's a million opportunities. Listen, if Kylie Jenner can sell hair extensions, we can sell merchandise on Misguided.
Exactly. Sounds about right.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, I'll let you guys get back to talking. I just thought I would drop in and say hi, and I can't wait to share the season with you guys.
Okay, I can't wait. I really can't wait. All right, darling. I got to tell you one more time, Paul, thank you for the opportunity to work with you.
Thank you, Paul. Have a
wonderful
Sunday.
Yeah.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye, guys.
Yeah, and happy Mother's Day.
Yeah, happy Mother's Day, Stephanie. Oh, well. Okay, so now we are going to go to one of your biggest fans, Zine.
Uh-oh.
He totally loves you. Hi, David.
Oh, Claudia, hi, Gene.
Is this, who's David? Is this David
Burgess?
Yes. I had a feeling it was you. How are you?
I do. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day. Yes, thank you.
Yeah. I'm going to say 12 Angry Men, my favorite movie of all time. I seen TV show and movie.
Really?
And,
I know.
Yes,
it's
I
so amazing, isn't it? It really
yes,
is.
Yes.
What a play. Oh, and they did bring it onto Broadway at the Roundabout Theater. But they didn't get it to Broadway until 2011. Can you believe that? It started as a TV show, Studio One, and then it went to a feature film. Then they did another one in 1997 with a different cast for television. Tony Danza was in that one. And I think there are a couple of others. And then it finally got on the stage in 2011 at the Roundabout in Broadway. And here we are, all these years
later. I know, with all women cast, that would be great. I would like to see that,
And also is nice about our cast, I haven't mentioned, but we have a very international cast. We have a young lady from Japan. We have a young lady from Colombia. We have a young lady from Mexico. We have some people that have come from Alabama and all over the place. So we are an international cast doing a story about American justice, which I think is amazing.
That's great. My question for you about Dying Light, do you have any memorable moments from Dying Light we should know about, that we know about?
A bit from Misguided?
No, Dying Light. Do you have memorable moments from Dying Light?
Oh, what's my favorite moment from Guiding Light?
Hey, something we don't know about. Memorable moments.
A memorable moment. Oh, there's so many of them. Oh, my God. So, I mean, I loved all the cast members. I loved working with, everybody. Frank and Harley and Buzz and all of them. Even from the beginning. I mean, I have a bunch of scrapbooks. Guiding Light, and I go back and I look at them. I go, oh my God, that was so fun! It was so wonderful to do that show. I mean, my character was blessed to do to
great.
Play Nadine.
You were great.
I really,
you
really
were great.
Was, and I loved her wardrobe. She had a great wardrobe. But the people,
you were great. You
were
really
great
in Guiding Light. I agree. You were great in Guiding Light.
Well, we were having fun. We really were. I mean, there were days where we had very long days and there were last-minute changes and all that, but that goes with the territory. But we really did get close, you know, and it was a pleasure to work. I don't think there were any divas or any conflicts. And, you know, it was always a good group to work with, and I loved our cast. I loved our crew. The administration was pretty good. And we had changes, you know, we had different producers and whatnot. But that happens.
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of our business.
Yeah.
You know, working with the people that you work with, that was amazing. And I loved going. It was a great experience. All the way.
Yeah.
All the way.
Yeah,
and I miss
them.
And then I see, you know, they're doing other things now, some of them. Some of them are just retired. And I look and I go, oh, yay, you know, it's good to see somebody working again. It's good to see somebody, you know, like Frank was doing a play. That was fantastic. I was so happy Frankie was doing a play. And you see Robert Newman doing different things. And I know Kim Zimmer was doing a play in New Jersey. I mean, I'm going, yay. It's just being that creative actor, you know. It's and Michael O'Leary, all of them. It's I love it when I hear that they're doing well.
Yeah, It was nice talking to you. And come back again.
Okay, well, you have a good rest of the day, David. Thanks for calling.
Oh, good day.
David, I want to put you on hold and let Bobby get some talking on to Dean before, you know, he murdered me and then you have to protect me. yeah, that's what's up on here.
Hello. Hey, Bobby.
Hi, who's
First
this?
All, oh, this is Bobby. Bobby Evans. I just friended you on Facebook, I think.
Oh, okay. Yes, well, thank you.
Anyway.
I have to confess, I don't spend a lot of time on Facebook. I get to it because I'm teaching college classes too, doing this play, and I'm still acting in the business, and it's like, oh my gosh, I get overwhelmed sometimes. So if I don't answer people's Facebook requests, it's because I'll get to it, you know, every once in a while.
Yeah.
But I just, oh my God, I get overwhelmed. I'm not technically savvy, I have to admit.
Yeah, I have a question. I caught on to Dying Light like maybe the last 5 years after Emmy Ryan, who is now on General Hospital, took over the role of Lizzie. I almost said her General Hospital character at the time. And I was just wondering, how long was you on the show at that show from? Because I didn't bother going on Wikipedia and doing some research before the show started today.
You're talking about, you want to know
how long I was on?
Oh, I came on actually in 1989, and I stayed until the end of 95, well, actually 95, but then they brought me back from the dead a bunch of times. They brought me back again and again. So the last time I was on, I think, was 2006. Yeah,
okay.
2006. And there were times in between. I don't know. I lost count,
right.
But...
I remember you from that time, but I think it was probably at the same time that Laura left to go to General Hospital after a long run as Cassie on that show, I think, if I remember correctly. But you talked about Robert doing to middle school because he recently came to my hometown and did Annie.
Yay!
I didn't see it because I didn't know anything about it until about a couple months before when I heard it on the radio. So, but I just wish I could because I believe I talked to him when Carly had him as a guest a couple of years ago, if I remember correctly, Carly.
He's such a nice guy. He really, really is. You know,
yeah.
Robert. We love Robert. We love them all.
Yeah. And Kemp seems like a nice person. I mean, I never met her before, but judging from the interviews and the way
she's she's a firecracker. She's funny. She's just
out there.
She's so funny. She really is a real firecracker.
I agree because she raised some good talented kids, especially her son Jake that was acting for a brief time.
Uh huh.
So, but my biggest question. My question is to you is, I know that towards the end they had to do reshooting in New Jersey or anything like that.
I didn't do that. It was interesting. No, I had left before that. So I didn't get to do the on-location stuff, which was an interesting concept, I think, that they hadn't tried. But, when I was there, they once in a while they'd go out in the field and do stuff on location, but it was very rare. Most of the time we shot in the studio.
Right.
So, which was nice, especially in the winter.
I know how cold New York can be in the wintertime.
Oh yes.
I've never been there in the wintertime, but I can tell you just from friends I know, it's cold.
What part of the country are you in?
I'm
live?
In North Carolina, in Fayetteville,
North
Carolina.
Well, it gets cold there too. My goodness,
lately it's been raining. A lot of weekends to the point where I'm thinking I'm living with Carly right now in Seattle.
Well, yeah, because Seattle is beautiful too. I mean, it really is.
Yeah.
But I know it gets really rainy there.
I know you're running short on time, but is there any one favorite moment? Because I think David brought this up. One favorite moment on Guiding Light that you can remember, because I didn't catch on to it until after 2001 and to the end. Gina took over the role of Diana, and I know that she just left Young and Restless right about that time.
Ah, so if I had to pick one favorite moment, it's so hard. Oh my God! But the one that I really remember where I felt so connected in the acting. You get into this. I don't know if you're an artist or if you're a musician or if you're, you know, whatever. They call it getting into your alpha zone, where you're just so focused on what you're doing. Everything else seems to go away, although actors always have to be aware of the tech stuff. But I was doing a scene with Buzz. That was Justin Dees. And we're in a motel room, and he's telling me the story of his Vietnam experiences. And that was a very connected moment. I really felt... I love that. I love that whole day that we spent. That was great. But that was very serious. Okay. But then we had a lot of fun moments, too. So,
right.
But it was right up there. It was one of my favorites. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know you're probably going to have to talk to Maggie, and I know that Carter's going to have to end the show soon, but I just thought I would just say hi to you, and I'll just say hi to David and Maggie and Carter, and wish you all a happy Mother's Day, and have a good one.
Well, thank you for calling in. Yeah, and I do appreciate it, and hope you have a happy Mother's Day, too. Love to your mom, your grandmom, and all the moms you know.
That's right. Well, it's been a pleasure.
Bye, Bobby.
I'll be back on here on Friday night, Carly. I got to go. I got to do some family stuff right now.
Okay. Okay, text me.
Right, have a good one. All right.
Take care. Bye, Bobby.
All right.
Okay. Bye. Dean, I wanted to say I was outraged when they murdered you on Guiding Light.
Well, they murder them all, you know. I'm a big Game of Thrones fan.
I've never asked this, but to someone that got murdered, when you get murdered on a soap, is it really scary? Like, I mean, you're getting murdered, yes, but... I mean, when you know it's coming and you're going to be murdered, how did you feel at that moment when someone's murdering you? I've always wanted to know that.
Oh, you're going to laugh when I tell you, okay? Well, yeah, I mean, we get the scripts ahead. We know, you know, and we have contracts and everything that we negotiate, so we know. But the day of, we had options to buy our wardrobe. This is funny. They put me in this great little outfit, and I really wanted to buy it after the show was over. So I said, "Oh, please, let's not get fake blood on the outfit, because I want to keep this outfit." Oh, I know that's funny, right? But the truth is, you worry about being realistic. You know, you want it to come across as real. So keeping your eyes open.
Realistic, being murdered. And I, when it happened, there was no Facebook or Twitter back then. So I'm like thinking, you know, the outrage now, if you got murdered, would be really, really high. And I was just thinking about it. And, you know, would you want to do another soap? In the future, you know, go back a daytime. Would you ever welcome that?
It. You know what? I love acting. I did another sort of like a soap. It was called Ocean Avenue, and Megan Fox was in it, and so was Rebecca Ferguson. She was the White Queen. I don't know if you know that series. And she's done a lot of movies recently with Tom Cruise, Mission Impossible ones, and they were great. Yeah, if you get a great script, you get a great character, it's, you know, I love it. It's great. I would do it. Sure, why not? Today, it really doesn't matter. If you're getting work, it's the best. It's the most important thing. Just keep going. You know, you're part of a creative environment. You're acting. You're doing you're doing what you want to do. So I don't see a downside, really. It's great. That includes all kinds of acting, you know. It includes commercials and doing voiceover. It's all, we're just so lucky to have this opportunity to do it. I had a dance teacher once, and she was she'd worked in New York, and she impressed me. She had a wonderful saying. She said, "You know what? Anytime you get to perform for an audience, whether it's something small or something large, consider yourself blessed. Because look at all the millions of people around the world who would love to do what you're doing. You know, and don't worry whether it's a small role or a big role or if it's this or that. You know, just be grateful that you have the opportunity to do what you love." And that's the truth. Mm-hmm. It really
exactly. is. And before we go, I just want to say the next time you see Jackie Zeman, who's also one of my favorites besides you.
And she's a fantastic person.
Give her a hug from Carly because
I will.
I totally love that you guys are on the same show. I just think it's awesome, and I love Jackie, and I love you. So
aww.
It's like, you know, I'm glad I don't have to pick who's my favorite because that would be really hard between you two.
She's a fabulous actress,
I know
and
more
she's
about
a sweet
Bobby
person.
Spencer's character. She goes, "You know everything about Bobby Spencer, even what I don't remember." I'm like, "Well, I'm sorry, I have a good memory." And so I love the both of you, and we cannot wait to have Misguided back on our screens. And have a happy Mother's Day and go relax.
I certainly will. I've got little four.
And David told me you need to come back on the show. And if I don't say that, he will be very mad at me. So you have to come back.
Well, we definitely will, honey. Then thank you for having
okay.
us. And
thank
seriously.
You. Have a great day.
You too, darling. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye. Hello, David.
Oh, Carly.
You didn't want to say anything else, did you? I
no. No. That's fine.
Okay. Well, successive will be back, so And we have a couple of happy birthdays to get out before we leave. Kelly Monaco's birthday. The other day. Today is Rebecca Hook's birthday.
Yeah, it is.
And obviously, and it's happy Mother's Day. So you know, and I just want to say that this is our first Sunday show. So it kind of worked out, and I just want to announce that I'm going to go see Breakthrough tomorrow night. I'm finally going to break down and see Breakthrough. I love it when I say that. After you told me what a great movie that is. And on Friday night, David, who do we have on the show?
My Eckert.
Yes, he will be on the show Friday night. So we hope people will call in and, enjoy. And I haven't watched the week of soaps yet. I mean, I watched The New Hospital, of course, but I need to go watch everything else. I haven't watched Dates. I haven't watched YNL. I haven't watched Bold and Beautiful. So I need to go do that. And I have a bunch of shows on my DVR. But before we go, who is your favorite mother from the soaps?
Past or present? Past or present? pass. Oh,
okay.
Come by now, I'll pass. Past or present. Past or present.
Okay, well, my favorite mother on the soap, and it won't surprise anyone, and if it does, then, you know, well, I will give the best mother on the soap of all to call the Crystals. I think she's the best mother on the soap, period. And my second favorite mother is Bobby Spencer from General Hospital. And my number third one will probably be Nikki Newman. Do you have any second or third?
Okay. I would say present would be Bobby Spencer. If I say pass, Lyle Quartermain. Lyle Quartermain. And... Yeah. Nikki Newman.
Oh,
and
you put Ava Graham in your little category?
Sharon Newman.
I'm teasing you.
Love my Sharon.
Well, we should end the show, but let the son of love out to Maggie. Hope she feels better. And
yeah.
I hope everyone can relax. So have a great Sunday, everyone, and have a happy Mother's Day. Bye, David.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Mother's Day.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye. That'd be quiet.